Elliott in the backfield. Set to the left of Rush. Bunch formation. Three receiver to the right. Rush. Quick throw. Back corner. With a one-handed grab. Touchdown! Oh. Cowboys! Oh, my goodness! C.D. Lamb with a flair for the dramatic. Dropped what would have been a sure touchdown in the first half. And he says, need the degree of difficulty to be a little bit higher.
That was Dallas getting the win against the New York Giants. And you heard it right here on The Sports Animal. We've got more Cowboys action for you today. That was Kevin Ray, who is with Compass Sports Media. They have their Cowboys broadcasts. And at 12:30, pregame coverage begins for Dallas playing host to Washington. This is the final half hour for the NFL Report. I'm John Wilkerson with Sam Foreman and Andy Sellers, and it's our privilege to be here in Gatlinburg. We're here at the Landshark Bar and Grill. And we have quite a few things to get to before we step aside for NFL action. But it certainly was something to watch Dallas go from being lost in their week loss, in their week one loss, their season opening loss to Tampa, to now being in second place in their division. They have a big tiebreaker in their back pocket against previously unbeaten Giants. And this is all without Dak Prescott. And you can't help but think, I thought that the Cowboys were toast. I had them in my bottom five in week two because I thought they don't have Dak Prescott. But they do have Cooper Rush.
And who is undefeated as a starter.
He is.
3-0.
Say all you want, but that is indeed a thing. And so, plus to the Cowboys. So why don't we go ahead and first run through the schedule, and then we'll go into some finer details, some ins and outs. So we do have the Saints and the Vikings playing right now. It is the fourth quarter, and it is the Saints leading 22-19 in London. As far as the games that go at 1 o'clock, Washington at Dallas, Cleveland at Atlanta, Seattle at Detroit, the Colts host the Titans, and pregame coverage starting now on our sister station, News Talk 98.7. You have the Giants home against the Bears, Jacksonville at Philadelphia, the Jets at Pittsburgh, it's Buffalo at Baltimore, and the Chargers play at Houston. One game goes at 4:05, and that is Arizona at Carolina. You'll have two 4:25 games. That's New England at Green Bay and the Broncos at the Raiders. Sunday night football is Kansas City at Tampa Bay. And the Monday night matchup, big division rivalry in the Rams against the 49ers. So why don't we quickly run through what you'll have at your disposal locally. And once again, we've seen it before, and that is with inventory. Bills at the Ravens will be what you see on CBS on local television. Titans at the Colts will be a Fox broadcast. And then it is a CBS doubleheader, so the afternoon game will be Patriots at the Packers. And as we also continue our conversation, we'll talk more about the game that you'll hear on these airwaves as well as the Titans at the Colts. Let's highlight what we have seen, and that is, we mentioned it earlier, there's just one team in the Eagles after the Dolphins lost on Thursday, just one team in the Eagles that is undefeated, and that's a little bit odd to be just week four with just one team remaining. Only two teams are looking for that first win, and one of those teams has a mark, and that is the Houston Texans tied week one, haven't won a game, but they aren't completely winless. Well, they are winless, but they aren't completely defeated.
Losers, yeah.
Yes. So, my question is this a reflection of parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y, or parity, P-A-R-O-D-Y, in terms of, is it because there simply are more teams that are more competitive in the National Football League, or is it more a matter of there are more franchises that have potentially fatal flaws that get in their way? So, would you say that one undefeated team and two teams remain that don't have a win yet, is that a good thing for the league, or is it a reflection of not so great football?
Hit them with the hard T, parity. I think it's a fact that it's more balanced than we've seen in the past. Now, I have a friend who has hit me up before the season that said it's going to be a year of the haves and have-nots, and I took a screenshot the other day. I said, it's going to be a year of the haves and have-nots. He said it's week three, I'll give him that. But you've got teams within the divisions that are knocking each other around. It's not a case of, well, there's maybe two teams in each division that have a shot and the rest are terrible. Any team in the AFC North could have a chance to make the playoffs, right? Any one of them. You've got the same thing in the AFC West. You've got the same thing in the AFC South, although for a different reason in the South. You've got two teams in the AFC East that are looking great, and then you've got a hurt team with Bill Belichick as the coach that, you know, is having their issues. I think part of the reason that it's the record we've seen so far is that some of the lower teams have played each other early in the season versus usually waiting till later. Mm-hmm. And that's just how the schedule worked. It's not like the NFL has planned to get the bad teams to play each other. But you've got the Lions and the Commanders going head-to-head, and then you got the Commanders and Jacksonville going head-to-head. So you've got these teams that aren't traditional powerhouses facing each other early to try to knock up some of that 0-4 going on.
What do you think, Sam?
Well, so I do think overall throughout the NFL things are a little bit closer than they have been. I still think both leagues are top-heavy, and divisions are not balanced across either league, but the bottom is a lot closer to the top than we've seen in years past. I still personally think the biggest difference we've seen so far as to why we only have one unbeaten left and a team that's 0-2-1 and a team that's 0-3, I think honestly it's the changes to how these teams prepare in the preseason. You have one less preseason games. We're not doing as much contact work in the preseason, and you have more teams now not playing their starters early or at all in the preseason. That's going to have some effect. We're seeing teams not know what maybe their fatal flaws are as early and being able to work on those during their training camps. We're learning what they are during the season. We're seeing teams make more mistakes and do more stupid things by circumstance because they're not getting those preseason reps. That's something I think that's going to be a continuing trend we're going to see. So I do think, overall, the gap between top and bottom is closing, and that is a factor. The schedule as well this year I think has been a factor, but I still think the biggest contributing factors to what we have right now is that lack of four games and how we've made changes to how these teams train in the preseason.
So you are going DY as opposed to TY.
Overall, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have a tendency to believe that it is also DY as opposed to TY, and that's simply
on an island.
Back, yep, as you normally are.
But it's in one particular.
It's very comfy over here.
Hey, how can
it's
everybody be lost but
harbor.
Me? Says Andy Sellers.
This is my island.
I am the only person who knows where he's supposed to be right here, right now. Anyhow, I also believe that while you do have more teams that are in the mix. We've talked about it. There are more teams that will have a chance to make the playoffs in the AFC. More teams in the AFC than the NFC. That's not necessarily a poor reflection on the NFC. So I do think there are more teams that are in a better position, but I also think those are still teams that have some warts that could rear their ugly head and cost them the opportunity to live up to that potential. So while I do think there are teams that have more teams that have a shot, I will say that there are more fatal flaws than we have seen previously because it's just the way it is. I mean, last year, who would have thought that you could point to the Packers and say, oh, yeah, it's their special teams that are going to wreck their season,
yeah,
which is exactly what happened because they've been in the NFC title game. I guess they had been in, three straight prior to last year or two straight. Anyhow, just didn't pan out. We'll put it that way. But I just think that it is indeed more ODY than ITY. Why don't we go ahead and take a quick look at how the standings shake up, because we are starting with this now being week 4, things starting to take shape. And we'll start first with the Dolphins that are leading the AFC East. Granted, Buffalo can pull even with a victory today against the Ravens, but still, it's the Dolphins with the tiebreaker, but it's Miami at 3-1, Buffalo 2-1, and then the Jets and the Patriots are each 1-2. In the AFC North, where the projected winner by one Andy Sellers will be the Cleveland Browns, it is Cleveland at 2-1, Baltimore at 2-1. After their victory Thursday, the Bengals have two wins, back-to-back wins, and are 2-2. The Steelers are 1-2. In the AFC South, Jacksonville, the surprise leader 3 weeks in, at 2-1 with back-to-back victories, a shutout win over the Colts 2 weeks ago, and the win at the Chargers last week. Then you have the Colts at 1-1-1. In second place, the Titans a half game behind them at 1-2. They meet today in Indianapolis. Big game for both, trying to shake off a poor start. And then the Texans are 0-2-1 as they bring up the rear of the AFC South, exactly where many thought they would be. And then the Chiefs and the Broncos, each 2-1 atop the AFC West, Chargers 1-2, and the Raiders are 0-3. And then over in the NFC, in the East, it is the Eagles, the lone unbeaten team at 3-0. And then you have both the Cowboys and the Giants, 2-1, Dallas with that head-to-head with the victory last Monday night, and then Washington at 1-2. It is a three-way tie atop the NFC North, Minnesota playing right now and trailing, last report, Green Bay and Chicago, all 2-1, and the Lions are 1-2. Hands went up, and what did we see, Andy?
3-yard touchdown rush by Justin Jefferson after a pass interference penalty that extended the drive, after a defensive holding penalty that extended the drive. It's now 25-22 Vikings.
Okay. So have they kicked the extra point, or it's pending?
It is no good.
No
wide
good.
Right.
Wow. So they finally get a second touchdown, and now a field goal, ironically, can tie them.
Correct.
So it is 25-22, and how much time to go?
4 minutes, 15 seconds.
That's plenty of time. So anyhow, in the NFC North, Vikings, Packers, Bears, all 2-1. So, yes, your Chicago Bears, Jason Swain, are tied for first in their division. In the NFC South, it is Tampa at 2-1, and then the Panthers, the Saints, and the Falcons are all 1-2. And then you get to the NFC West, and you have the Rams, the reigning Super Bowl champs, at 2-1, and then the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals are all 1-2, and which gives the Seahawks hope that they'll have company.
Arizona's going to be better, right? I mean, they're going to get it together, yeah. And they're going to get their leading receiver back after week 6, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And they get more back this week. That should help as well.
Yeah. So, grain of salt that they're 1-2.
It is a grain of salt indeed, but it is a grain of salt league. why don't we go into our best and the worst around the league? And so, Sam, why don't you lead us off? We'll look at the worst. Which 5 teams do you have, and you can go 28-32.
All right.
Who are the 5 teams that you have at the bottom of the NFL as we speak?
First of all, it's like you read my mind. I was going to double check. We go 28, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm the one who did it backwards.
coming in 28, despite them being a team I've complimented quite a bit this week on the show, the Atlanta Falcons. 29, the Seattle Seahawks. At 30, it is the Carolina Panthers. 31, it is the Houston Texans. And last but not least, it is the Washington Commanders. I know I don't have the 0-3 team in the bottom 5, but each of their games have been close. And honestly, those 5 teams are just worse, despite them not having a win in the desert in Las Vegas.
Okay, so again, run through your bottom 5 again.
Falcons, Seahawks, Panthers, Texans, Commanders.
Okay. Andy.
We're similar.
Yep.
28, I got the Falcons.
Okay.
29, I have the Texans, because I think they should have won a game by now. 30, the Seahawks, because they shouldn't have won a game by now. 31 is the Commanders, and 32, you got to beat somebody, the Raiders.
Hey, you were almost right.
is that what it is?
I actually do not have the Raiders in my bottom 5. I just think that personnel is too sound, although it hasn't resulted in anything yet other than losses. But I have and I think they've lost to 3 teams that made the playoffs last year. Is that right? No, the Chargers did not. They lost to the Chargers week 1.
They should have.
The Raiders
put them out.
Yeah.
So the Raiders were the playoff team, and it was the Chargers getting the win week 1. Cardinals literally stole the game in overtime with the scoop and score, and then the Titans.
If it weren't for analytics, you would have been correct.
Yes. So anyhow, Washington is my number 28 team. Carolina is 29. The New York Jets come in at 30. The Seahawks, 31. And the Houston Texans are my 32nd and final team in the National Football League. If we were stacking them 1-32. So now let's flip it. Who are the top 5? Andy Sellers. Take us 5-1.
Number 5, I've got the Rams. A little disappointing so far, but I think they're still there. Number 4, I've got the Packers. Didn't think they'd be a team this year, but somehow, some way, they're showing it. 3, I've got the Bills, simply because they did lose to the Dolphins. And 2, well, the Dolphins. And number 1, be the best. You got to beat the best. Eagles undefeated.
Eagles undefeated. Sam Foreman.
All right, mine may be a little questionable. I know it's probably coming, but at 5, it is the Baltimore Ravens. at number four because I just am not fully convinced it's all been legitimate, the Philadelphia Eagles. Three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Two, the Rams. And one, despite what happened against Miami, it's still the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. So you have Buffalo number one.
I still just think they're the best team right now, even if they've had some things not go their way. I think it was some self-inflicted wounds to an extent against Miami. And I just – look, Philly's been great, but I just don't know if I can fully trust them and if they fully earned much. I could maybe flip them in Kansas City and probably should have looking at it after the Chiefs lost to the Colts, but I was trying not to hold that too much against them with what they've done overall and looking at the week as well, and I wasn't trying to take just record into account.
Well, I'll say this. I've probably been too much of a put too much of a penalty on their loss against the Colts last week. I don't have the Chiefs in my top five, but you have double-digit teams that have one loss, and you have a 3-0 team. So, at number five, I go Baltimore. At number four, I go the Rams. Number three, Buffalo. Number two, Miami, because this was before the week started. And then number one, the Philadelphia Eagles. So, they are right now 3-0, so they get my top spot. And this could change very much and very quickly. I'll say this. I still like the Chargers, although there are some pretty significant questions in terms of what their defense can or can't do and what that means for the rest of the season. I also very much expect the Chiefs to be right smack dab in the middle of any AFC champion conversation. But, again, we're talking week four. So we go from there are two teams, as we've talked about, that don't have a win. Texans have a tie. Raiders looking for that first win. And these also happen to be led by new coaches. Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas, as well as Lovie Smith taking over in Houston. So the Texans host the Chargers, and the Texans have been competitive. I don't think there's any question about that. They host the Chargers at one, while the Raiders entertain the Broncos with a 425 kick. So, Sam, I'll give this question to you first. Does either team ring the victory bell for the first time today?
I think they both have a shot to, John, and because I have a house-divided rivalry today with my mom being a Raiders fan, I'm just not going to give her the satisfaction of saying that Josh McDaniels will get his first win against the Broncos on the radio. So I think they both realistically probably do have a shot, but I think the better shot, honestly, is with the Houston Texans. They've both been competitive. I just am not sure what the Chargers are right now. And Denver maybe started to turn at least a little bit of a corner. I'm not sure I can trust my own Broncos right now, but it would be Denver maybe shooting themselves in the foot more if Oakland were to get it. Houston, I think, might honestly be able to take it against the Chargers as they have all kinds of issues right now.
Well, I don't like the matchup of Denver's defense missing Justin Simmons against that Raiders group of receivers. But, hey, I didn't think they would beat the 49ers.
I was with you on that,
and
I would be happy
else.
To be wrong again.
Yes. So, okay. Well, I think in looking at it, how would you see it, Andy? How would you break
I
it down?
I think both teams get a win today. I really like Vegas against the Broncos simply because we haven't seen the Broncos offense do anything yet. And we know that Vegas, even though they haven't been clicking yet, they can move the ball. Mm-hmm. So I like the ability just to outscore the Broncos in this one. And as you said, Broncos are missing a key defensive player. When you look at Houston against Los Angeles, it's at Houston. Houston's been competitive in all their games. They've put up points. And I'm not sure, even though Herbert's going to play, just how well he's going to be able to throw, how quick is he going to be able to sling the ball, move the arm. And maybe the pain affects a couple throws. So the fact that he's still injured and they're missing Keenan Allen still, I think they both get a win.
I'm going to go with a win for the Raiders, loss for the Texans. But, hey, I've been wrong before, and I will be wrong again. Now, we to the other side of that coin, and that is one team is undefeated. There were two teams coming into this week, and that was the Dolphins and the Eagles. The Eagles are in action. They're playing host to a team that has a lot of momentum in Jacksonville with the shutout win over the Colts and then on the road winning big at the Chargers. So Philadelphia plays host to former head coach Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. My guess is the Jags will be fired up to try and get a big win for their coach, one that would mean a lot to him. And, of course, Philly wants to get to 4-0. So, Sam, I'll throw this to you. Can the Jags win a third straight game and knock the cheese whiz out of Philly?
I would, to an extent, love to see that happen. But I think this one's going to go to Philly. I think the Eagles just going to be able to fly a little too high for the Jags to reach up and pounce in this one. I know Peterson's going to do everything he can to get that win because clearly he wasn't happy with how his tenure in the city of brotherly love ended without a whole lot of love in his direction. But I just think Philly's got too much on offense for Jacksonville to slow down right now. But I do think there's a chance that he can scheme around a very talented Eagles defense and keep up for the majority of the game. I'm just not sure the Jacksonville defense can slow down Hurts enough for them to get a win. I think it'll be close, but Philly gets to 4-0.
Andy?
You know, this is a fan base that booed Santa Claus. I think they're going to boo their former
coach.
Threw
snowballs at Santa.
Well, yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's assault, brother.
No, that's coming from the Phillies fan.
I think they're going to boo their former coach when he comes in. I think that's going to rally up.
Yeah, the only coach that's ever won them a Super Bowl.
Right.
But oh, it's
gonna,
a guarantee he's going to get
booed. We're going to boo him. I think the Jacksonville players will take that and come fire it out and still lose. Give me the Eagles. There's just too much there.
Oh, yeah. All right. Can see that. And as far as we always take a look 1 week to the next, whether or not your primary target has changed, the hot seat, 3 weeks in, is there a coach or coaches that should be looking over their shoulder? And who do you think might be the first one to be gone, Andy Sellers?
Well, it's looking pretty good for old Bill. Going to go 1-3 today.
That's the obvious answer. It's Bill Belichick. We all know it, right?
Clearly. By the way, I do think they lose today. You know, it's tough. I think you've got to look at Matt Rhule, Carolina. I think he's the one who's going to be the hottest seat. If not that, Arthur Brown. Or it was Arthur Smith. But I think Arthur Smith is going to get enough wins to maybe stave it off.
See, I also think that for Rhule, there could be the attraction to a college opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and you have an owner that likes to give too many chances down there in Atlanta as well. That could help out Smith there. But I've got to go with Matt Rhule as well.
So even though he's coming off his first win.
Yes.
Well, against the bad Saints.
Look, it's also hard to bet against Mike McCarthy being the first coach that's fired because it's Jerry Jones as his owner.
But he's discovered something with Cooper Rush.
True. The fact that Josh McDaniels already has had to have a post-game before you're allowed to go meet the media conversation with the team owner after their last loss, that's probably not a good sign. Things are going great. I will say the next coach or the first coach I think will be fired, at least if the correct decision is made, is Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator in Washington. Yeah. And if they don't make that move, Ron Rivera may likely be done after this year in Washington.
I can't see Ron Rivera going away right now.
Look, I don't think they want to fire him, but Del Rio may give them no choice.
That team has been so bad for so long, and they're going to continue to be bad because of the ownership group that's involved with it. It doesn't matter who you put in as a coach.
But that's part of the problem is the owner. Tell me the last time he made a smart move.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And speaking of there you go, field goal Saints.
Field goal Saints.
151 as they kick off to the Vikings, tied at 25, which is, of course, your run-of-the-mill football score.
OT in London.
25-25.
Give them overtime. They just lost their queen. Give them something to cheer about.
We have a little more than 2 minutes to go in our game, and we'll remind you that it is Washington at Dallas is what you'll hear on our airwaves. And we appreciate you following along. You'll have the Nation from 6 until 7 later this evening. But we've got the Commanders of the Cowboys. Just a quick thought of that since that's our game of the week. Do the Cowboys make it three straight?
Cooper stays undefeated.
Agreed. I think Cowboys get it. I like a lot of points in this one. Give me the over.
Yeah.
I can't pick Washington after I just trash.
Oh, you
DC.
Can. It is the bad take way. Trash it and then go, hang on a minute.
Yes, but I like having good takes.
Less than 2 minutes to go. Your team, how do they do today? Titans on the road against the Colts.
I think it's going to be a little too much for them in this one, but I hope there's a good fight. I'd like to see it come down to the final drive. I just don't think they have it in the tank.
Be interested to see. When you don't score a point in the second half, that doesn't give you a great amount of momentum to go on the road, but I really liked how well they played and moved it in the first half. I think, though, that I would lean Colts at home as well. Sam?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have great feelings about this one. I don't know about you, John. I mean, I guess, well, you technically picked the Raiders, so I know you don't have great feelings there. Look, it's a house-divided moment, and I also don't want to see Josh Ward be happy with his NFL team doing good things. So I'm just hoping my Broncos don't let me down, but I don't know how much I can trust things right now in Denver.
Yep. Is there another big matchup you're watching today?
I'm always keeping my eye on the Ravens. Well, see, right now,
what does the NFL let us watch? That's the question.
That's another key question. Yeah,
Tampa Bay, Kansas City is probably going to be the one to watch. That has so many playoff implications.
Yeah, that will be something. And of course, they're doing the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes could be final matchup kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is there something that you picked off the menu today that you're going to enjoy here at the Land Shark, Andy?
It's really hard to beat their Josh Ward chicken wrap.
Yeah.
It'd be the jerk chicken wrap. It's fantastic. We usually get the beach chips. I think they've switched it to the beach fries. It's still great.
I'm going back and forth between that and the fish and chips are always good. Anything stand out to you, Sam, quickly?
Well, I've had a blast hanging on this one particular harbor located in Gatlinburg with you all. And as a parrot head, it's hard not to go with a cheeseburger in this piece of paradise, but I think I'm going either fish tacos or the mahi sandwich.
Ooh, all sound good, and all are good, and are right here for the taking at Landshark Bar and Grill. We certainly appreciate them having us here today. Enjoy your football this afternoon. Get us out of here, Willie.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.